I did that chopper line, I see your point.
What's up, y'all? This is your girl, Being Dollar Baby.
And this is your girl, Mila the Brave, on Let's Get Into It.
What it do? What up, though? Oh, man. So it's been a little minute. Been a little, you know, a little minute.
Yeah, y'all know how the New Year's are. You know, you got Christmas and you got New Year's. And then it's like, you know, you got a couple weeks where you just trying to get back to it. So that's kind of where we were at.
Trying to fall back into, I don't know, the new year, weird groove anyway. I feel like we just gotta, I don't know, snap into it somehow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're getting there. We're getting a flow.
Of course.
2023.
Yes, we should.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to get right into this juicy, juicy business. And, I mean, it might be a little old news to, you know, all the listeners out there. It's really not too old, maybe about a week or so, but I want to get into this juicy topic of Stephen. Is that how you pronounce his name? Stephen A. Smith. He is one of the commentators that, you know, he's a very outspoken sports commentator. I see a lot of him talking about people's business. He seems to be very messy. Yes, very messy. But he was on what's her girl name? He was on a talk show, just recently, and pretty much the question came out: how does he feel about Riri performing for the halftime show? So he had his little comments, and let me just play this little clip. I mean, I know y'all heard it before. We're gonna play it again.
Okay, where you going?
Ladies and gentlemen, she's a lot of things. She's spectacular, actually.
Yes.
And congratulations on new mamahood.
Yes.
There's one thing she's not. She ain't Beyonce.
I know she's not Beyonce, but wait a minute. Hold up.
So my thing is, are we? I mean,
right. I mean, they're different people. Like the hell, and we know. I mean, she's Queen Bee. Like, we know.
Yeah. Like, obviously, she's not Beyonce.
Right.
But she's also Rihanna.
Right.
And it's just one of those things where it's just like, okay, like, is this like a tactic to like get Black women to be feuding against each other? I mean, it was already a thing when Rihanna first came out. You know, and this whole like, oh, you know, Jay-Z.
Right, rumors about that.
Yeah, so it's like, what is the narrative behind that, for real, for real? Honestly, I just feel like he's always been messy, and that was kind of the thing. And he came out with a little, apology after, because he seen the Navy gang, they was not for it. They wasn't taking that. So they pretty much came at him and was like, yo, like, what are you talking about? And he came back and apologized. It was like, you know, I have to do this because of the people. And I apologize. She's spectacular. She's fantastic. Okay. But what was the point of saying it in the first place? And that's what I don't like. I don't like when people follow up with the apology
right
about something that you meant to say.
Right.
You know?
As if you don't think before you speak. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you should. I mean, you're on TV. You know, it's like all those instances where, you know, people say like very offensive things. I'm like, dude, come on. Like, you knew that was going to spurt out your mouth. And for you to say, I sincerely apologize. Like, it's like, I don't understand. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. It's a weird, I don't know. It's a weird thing that people do nowadays where they put out their opinion, but then they see that they got negative backlash. So now they want to apologize for it. And I mean, cool. You know, you want to be on the good terms with the public, but
save your career.
Yeah. But come on. Either way, that was quite messy. Regardless of if he meant, you know, even in a good way, I don't know how that could even mean good, but like, we all know, like, it's a difference. I mean, Rihanna has a lot of great qualities and a lot of things about her that Beyonce would never be either.
Right.
So,
right.
And I'm a big fan. Like, trust me. Love Beyonce. Come at me, Beehive. Yes, yeah, please. Of course. Because I am a part of Beehive. Don't come at me.
Yeah, Billion is definitely a part of Beehive.
Like, I love Beyonce, so it's not even like a shot towards her. But right. I just, you know, I just want to make it clear. Like, Rihanna has her own. She's in her own lane.
She's got that edginess to her. Like, I'm not saying like Beyonce isn't edgy, but she's almost got that, like, she can do like some kind of like rockish vibes and it works for her. You know what I mean? Like, Beyonce just has a different style, you know?
She's a little bit more angelic about it.
Yeah. It's like, she can get edgy. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, when she was cussing, I said, ma'am.
That church girl. Yes, and that church girl. Mm.
You know?
Had me ready to go to church and twerk. She done had everybody out of character.
Sure.
And I mean, she was that's, you know, but it's like, we expect certain things from each, you know, individual. So we expect a little bit, you know, something different from Rihanna than Beyonce. But I feel like that's the point, you know, you shouldn't have artists that are all the same. So yes, she is not Beyonce and she shouldn't be. Why would she want to be? Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
So she's in a lane of her own, you know, like,
exactly.
When you're becoming an artist, you want to do whatever is the most individual thing. You want to do whatever that is very unique. Like, for example, it's like Doja Cat, very different. You know what I mean? Like, I can't really measure her up to anybody out here. And I like that. I don't want to like an artist that's like everybody else. I like individuality. And I don't know. It is really annoying how, you know, people like to compare women. It's always like, she's not this or she's not that, or this one's better than that, or she wore it better. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they all brought their little spin. And that's the beautiful thing about, I mean, hell, you could have a person wearing one thing, but they can wear it like billions of, you know, different people wearing one thing, but there can be like billions of outcomes from it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think that, you know, individuality should be praised.
Yeah. I mean, I love them both. And,
same.
He just shady. Just shady.
Yeah, he's a little zesty and sassy for me sometimes. I'd be like, man, this is growing.
Yeah, like the way he said it. Mm-mm. He was like, well, she ain't no Beyonce. Right. Like the way that he
like, okay. Like,
that was a little bit too much sass.
Yeah, I was waiting for a little
calm it down.
You know, a little head movement. I mean, that's what I was saying. She ain't no Beyonce.
Listen. Like, damn. He might as well have broke his wrist and everything because the way he was like, she ain't no Beyonce. Like, okay. And I know, what's the name of the talk show host?
I don't even know who that is.
Sherry. Oh. Sherry, yes. Hmm. Sherry Shepherd. So she was pretty much, you know, like, I know she not, you know, like, don't come for her. Don't do that to me.
Right. Like, don't do that.
Don't do it to either one. Cause I love both of them. Like, I will never forget. I had a subscription with Tidal, right? Mm. And this is when it had first came out, like first, like popping. And I had my little, you know, email set up. And I remember it was like a challenger, like a little win thingy where you could put in your win or put in your bid and you could possibly win tickets to go to see Rihanna for her concert. And so I was like, you know what, let me just try, because it's a, you know, little sweepstakes. I'm always like, let me try, because you never know, it could be you. And girl, I was sitting there working. This was at UC Tuesday Unified Days. in the kitchen, whipping up the food for them people. Check my email, and guess what it was? You've won tickets to see Rihanna. Listen, and did I go? Indeed, I was very hot, very happy. I love Beyonce, been a fan always, but I was excited to see Rihanna, and I love her music, you know. So, man, me and my friend, we had a great time. We went up to that concert. It was great seats. Shout out to Tidal for that, because that was a great seat that we had. We was right there. She was walking on by, you know, and I was just like, that's the day that I really was like, you know what? I really rock with Rihanna. Like, to this day, I'll go and get Fenty. Like I buy Savage. I have my VIP membership. I pay that little money every month. And you know what it is? Like, I love her as a person because she's a businesswoman.
Mm-hmm. She made
a brand. Yeah. She set the tone. So yes. Shout out to her. I can't wait to see the halftime show. And I want to see like what songs she performed. I'm excited to see her back in her element because, you know, we've been waiting.
We've been testing her out, honey.
Listen. And I mean, I know that she hit us with that little Lift Me Up. I'm sorry, but Lift Me Up had me sad. I don't want to listen to that.
No, it didn't do what it needed to do for me. You know?
Yeah. Mm-mm. I'm trying to get work vibes. Like, I'm trying to be in a Jamaican basement party.
That song snatched my edges, honey.
Sweating.
What?
Exactly.
It was on repeat, honey. I was playing too much with that song.
Listen, so I don't know why he even tried to come, you know, for Riri, but, you know, it's all good. And, you know, to tie into that, you know, Riri has been having some weird stuff going on with Riri. I mean, not her personally, mm-hmm. but you know, a lot of people have been talking about her. Recently, there was a pastor who pretty much came out and was like, hey, I had a temporary death situation. Like he, you know, I guess, and I've heard about that, like where people, you know, pass away. And for that minute or two that they're gone, they go into another place. He said, I temporarily died, and he revealed when he went to hell. And he said that when he was there, it was demons singing Rihanna's song, Umbrella, as torture. So I'm going to play the video. It's a little bit lengthy. I might cut it short, but let's see what he said. If it play.
I wouldn't wish that.
Let me restart this.
So is it true that you saw hell? Oh, yes, absolutely. I saw the real hell. I was there. And I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. I don't care what a person has done to me. I would never wish that on them. But for me, the way it went is that I thought that I was having a heart attack. And my spirit left my physical body. And I thought that I was going upward because I thought I had done so much good in this lifetime and helped so many people and made so many decisions that were godly decisions. But as opposed to me going up, I went down. And I went literally into the center of the earth. And that's where hell is. Jesus even said that in the scriptures. He says, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, which is where hell is. The things that I saw were literally indescribable, and it just makes me emotional every time I talk about it. But it was one of the things that I saw that just blew me away was there's a man on all fours like a dog. He was burned from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, and his eyes were bulging out. And what was worse than that is that he had a chain around his neck. So he was like a dog in hell. And what was even worse than that is that who was holding the chain? It was a demon holding the chain. And I knew because their things are not, they're not said, they're known. You just like a telepathic communication. I knew that this demon was sent in this man's life to ride him from his childhood until the time that he died, because the demon knew that if I could stay in his life long enough on the earth, if I can keep getting him to not serve God and to make bad decisions on the earth, then I'll have power over him in hell, and he'll be a slave to me. So it's like twice a slave. It's like you're a slave on the earth to the things of the devil, and then in hell, you're really like a tormented dog slave. And then there was another part that I experienced that just blew me away. It still baffles me to this day. If there was a section in hell where music was playing, and it was the same music that we hear on the earth, but as opposed to entertainers singing it, the music demons were singing it. And it was some of the same lyrics that we hear here. And then again, things, like I said, things are telepathically known there. I knew that on Earth, a lot of the lyrics and the music and the songs are inspired by demons. So sometimes when people smoke to get high and to get lyrics and to get verses and rappers and all those things. So in a lot of music, people actually smoke to get high, to get verses and to get bars and to be hot and to be fresh and to get that swag. But when they open themselves up to a false high, it's like illegal access into the spirit realm. They actually come in contact with demons who give them lyrics for the purpose of controlling people on the earth. So there, See, here, music is for, like, to get over a breakup. Don't worry, be happy. I busted windows out your car or under my umbrella or whatever. There, every lyric to every song is to torment you as to the fact that you didn't worship God through music when you were on the earth. So it's like, you know, you had a chance to worship him in church and worship him at home and worship him through music, but you chose to worship Satan by repeating the lyrics that he inspired to come into the earth. So there's people there for that because music is very controlling. And I was angry with God because it's like, how did I do this much good and I'm actually in hell? Well, I lifted up out of hell and I came back on the earth and God began to speak to me. I actually saw the real Jesus. I saw him and he began to speak to me and he said, you have been secretly upset with the people that hurt you. You have been hoping that I will punish the people that hurt you. He said, these are not your people. These are my people. He says, I only want you to focus on the assignment that I'm giving you because I want to do something through you that the world hasn't seen. And so the root of it is that although I did good, I gave a lot to people. I did a whole lot of good things. The thing that I had in my heart was unforgiveness towards people who had did me wrong.
Okay. So yeah, lengthy video. And I mean, I thought that he would dive in more about like the particular song, you know, by Rihanna, but he just pretty much said the name of the song and, you know, quoted other songs, Don't Worry, Be Happy, different things like that. And so with these, because I've seen a few different blogs and everything post this story, but it was the first time, you know, just recently that I actually heard the interview that he had. And a lot of the comments before we even seen the video of him talking about it, they were like, well, let's talk about the fact that the priest went to hell, you know? And I think a lot of people, you know, like, okay, yeah, we expect that, you know, people in the church or, you know, that represent God in these, you know, uplifting or better ways wouldn't go to hell. But as we can see, what he, you know, he explained, like, I actually was surprised and upset with God because I thought I did good in my life, but even still, you know, it was opened up to him that, you know, he had, you know, he never forgave certain people in his life and he, you know, was holding on to maybe had grudges and things like that. And that's, yeah, if you hold on to enough, then you have envy or some type of
or hate or animosity, right?
Yeah, that will keep you in a bad, and I mean, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, it depends on what you believe, you know, so I don't want to just like, you know, promote, you know, God and Christianity and everything like that. But, you know, if you believe it, I do think that it makes sense. If you keep, you know, even if it doesn't seem like a big sin, but if you keep that in your heart, yeah, that might hold you back from just the pearly gates, you know? And one thing I think that it also makes sense. I have listened to a lot of different songs. And I mean, even thinking about, you know, going back to the concert, Auntie, it was great. It was fun. And realistically, it was fine for us in a flesh way because, you know, we're having a good time. We're dancing. We're singing along. We feel pleasure and satisfaction in what we think is, you know, creating happiness within us, but we don't know what inspired the songs. We don't know what inspired the, you know, the name of the albums. We don't know what inspired these things. And it, you know, unfortunately, I mean, you know, maybe we got to do some deep, you know, diving deep into ourselves, into our religion or spirituality, but you know, maybe it is certain things that we're worshiping that we really don't know, you know, it could be bad or it could be good. I mean, a lot of stuff came out when Beyonce had her album that had just dropped with the horse and, you know, they said it was demonic. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was, you know, it's just certain things that we don't know, you know? So it's like, we take up a lot of things within our lives and we make it our, you know, habits, you know, we listen to a lot of, you know, secular music that can be inspired about a lot of things and it might have a manipulated version, you know, that it really is about, but we would never know because the words is twisted. So I think that, you know, that it it probably was some truth, a lot of truth to what he said. To be able to witness hell, and to hear the songs, of course. I mean, you think they're just gonna be in hell burning? It's just one thing happening. Just, you know, they just there burning. No, I'm sure it's a lot. It's a lot going on in hell. We don't know
exactly.
Yeah, it could include a lot of stuff that we keep in our, you know, day to day lives. That's, I mean, hey, like. Disturbia, what was that about, for real, for real? What was that really about? That just sounds creepy in itself, singing that beat.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to think too. Yeah, it does. Like, the song does sound kind of creepy. Like, don't they usually play that song around Halloween or something?
No. Yes. Like, what? Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's certain things that, you know, again, it's satisfying to the flesh and to our, you know, what we perceive as happiness. We listen to music. We're in a careless mindset when we are doing these things.
Right, because we're doing it for entertainment.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean that we're not being inspired by a negative energy or by, you know, something of a different entity. It doesn't mean that. It's the fact that we don't even know. We're just opening ourselves up. We're just a wide open,
right?
You know?
Because if you think about it, that's probably when we're the most vulnerable. Like, a lot of times when we're listening to music, we're like drunk or high or just partying or just open. We're happy. You know, we're not on a defense. We're vulnerable, really. You know, we're enjoying the music. We're tapping in. Hell, a lot of us are singing the lyrics. I mean, it even reminds me, like, sometimes you hear things, like, I don't know if you be sitting up sometimes, you're like hanging out with people, or you're just like listening to the song with like your headphones on. It's like, demon rules. Like, they'll be saying some wild shit.
What?
I mean, I'm being dramatic, but they'll be saying something. I'm like, did they say something like they left demons? Like, they'll say something like weird. I forgot what song I was listening to with my friend at the cabin, but it came on. I said, did they say something about the devil? Like, you'll be hearing, I don't know if you heard that, but you'll just be vibing, and it'll be like, don't say like 666 or say something about loving demons or loving something. And I'll be like,
it'd be some weird shit going on. Like, damn. I'm not even gonna lie. Listen, I love both of them, but Beyonce and Rihanna, they be having some stuff going on now.
Right.
You know, in them songs, like, even, all right. So the first song on Beyonce's new album, I believe it's like, I'm That Girl. And the way it start off, it's like, and it sounds so, like, when I first heard it, I was like, oh God. Like,
what is that?
Because it just, and then when they start chopping and screwing, I know that's like a Texas thing. Mm-hmm. So it is, but when they slow-mo the parts of the songs and some words be sounding deeper than the other, that shit does sound scary as hell. And it makes
you listen to that, like, back. Dang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen to it. It's the very first song, it starts up. And then it first starts off super slow, though, and then it speeds up. But it's like, yeah, them slow-mo, when they be having the voice all altered and sounding different, that part, yeah. So it's like one of those things where I'm like, and I mean, again, the clear horse, what does that represent? So a lot of stuff that we don't really look into, and we just keep on just circulating it within our daily lives. We listening to this, listening to that, watching this,
and we're
that.
Looking at the imagery, you know, we're taking it in a sense, And it's like, it's one thing, like, I was always told to kind of just, you know, again, just watch what you listen to, because there's those subliminal messages in the back. I even heard things about, like, people saying, I don't know if you heard this, but, like, if you play a song backwards, you'll hear some crazy shit. Like, I don't know, like, you hear a bunch of stuff about this, but I would even really like to know. I do think that Beyonce, I wouldn't be shocked. I'm not gonna lie. Like, and I wouldn't be shocked about Rihanna. I wouldn't be shocked about a lot of these people. But I don't know. I like, from a Virgo standpoint, I feel like Virgos do everything for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're always trying to reference something or refer to something. So it's like, when we do something, we meant that shit. Like, there's a reason for it. We don't just do stuff. And like, I would like to know, like, why she does certain hand movements and, you know, like, I mean, it makes you kind of want to read a little deeper, but yeah, even the clear horse, I don't know anything about that, but mm-hmm. I just feel like everything she does is a representation of something. Cause even didn't she say like her album 4 or something meant something? It was something that was interlinking her and her husband or some shit. Like she just always mm-hmm. has like a freaking reason why she does shit. I'm like, damn girl, just
yeah.
Make the song. We always gotta be extra. Like, damn.
But and then it's hard to decipher, like, okay, well, is this just a personal, like, oh, I did this for this reason, or is it some, you know, Illuminati business? You never know. And so I try not to, because I remember back in like, I want to say like 2012, 2013. It was like a big, or no, maybe even earlier than that. It was like a big thing with Illuminati. People was like pressed. I mean, YouTube videos for days. People was like diving into it like it was their homework. And it was going in about like trying to learn this Illuminati stuff. I even know somebody that was so into it. Well, it used to be somebody I was really close with back in the day. He was like thinking, and I was like, okay, now, come on. He thought that the Illuminati was after him.
All right.
He thought the Illuminati was after him. I'm like, sir. Like, yes, I think it's real, but they're not after you.
But like, not to be mean, but like, who do you think you are? Like, after all the people that are involved, I think we have a severe misconception of the Illuminati as well. Like, I do agree that there's like a small group of individuals that like have so much say, you know, about what goes on in the industry, hell, even the world and stuff like that. But I feel like it would lose power if we even knew the name, who they, you know what I mean? Who was a part of it. I think it's so like, I feel like it's so underground that we would be like, the hell? Yeah, I feel like it's really the Wizard of Oz. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we really are that much on the path of knowing what it is.
I mean,
that would lose the power. I mean, I think we have an idea, but I don't know if I 100% think it's the Illuminati that is doing what we might think, you know, like the satanic rituals, the trying to influence the masses, you know, like I think it's you always have like one or like a group of men that are the most powerful. They wouldn't give that power to so many people. I could be wrong, but it's just what I think.
I think that there are people that, because you got to think, music circulates throughout the whole world. So then, like, I feel like I do believe that Illuminati is, you know, it's not probably the name of the group. I believe Freemasons is the name of the group, or the Masons or something like that. But I feel like, yes, we might know and people might talk about it, but it's not enough. There's not enough to really confirm anything because it is so secretive. And then you have people that are in the industry in music where they know, okay, well, to get to a certain success in their career, they have to pretty much sign over their souls and do certain things that, you know, project subliminal messages and give off these messages for people to take in, not even knowing, and then it controls people. So I think that's really what it is. Like, you know, it may not be 100% like, oh, they worship the devil, but
they do,
in a sense, worship a very
dark,
you know, dark group of people help control, you know, they pretty much, these artists contribute to controlling the people.
That makes lot of sense. Because you got to think, like, I definitely believe that they, like, when people talk about, like, sacrifices and stuff like that, I do believe that to a certain extent, because it's like, if you think about anything in life, like, you always have to give some to get some. Like, that's just how life is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you want your business to do well, you got to invest in it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, very seldom can you just take and benefit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I do feel like if you want something that bad, and have that much influence, like, and I feel like the bigger you get, like the Beyoncé's, the Rihanna's, hell, the Michael Jackson's, the Prince, I feel like there's a higher cost.
Yeah. Like, even, I mean, Kanye, come on. He's a whole example. You know, I honestly believe that they were trying to control and dictate, and he was going against the grain, honey. He was not having it. And that's just the real part of him that's, you know, and sad to say, you know, I hope that it doesn't happen. And I'm not trying to speak it into existence, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did some shady shit to execute him because of the fact that he's fighting against it, you know, whatever right. it is. Like even Kim and Autumn, mm-hmm. they are a part of it.
I think
they
so are too. Part,
you know, so I mean, they control. They're not even in the music industry. They're just in this.
They're very influential.
Yes. And so like you have so many people that ride their coattails for, you know, what they should wear, what how they should look. I mean, you have people that will literally go to a surgeon and say, I want to look like Kim K. Mm-hmm. I want to look like this person. So it's just like, yeah, they are so influential. And I feel like he got into something that he probably didn't need. And it sucks because maybe it wouldn't have been that bad for him. I know that Jay-Z and Beyonce are kind of like intermingled with that. But on the other hand, I feel like they kind of have more control where him being with Kim, that just, I mean, he had to do other things. He's in a more, you know, he's surrounded by white people versus him being with Beyonce and Jay-Z. At least he's, you know, at least supported by his own people. And yeah, right. they might still serve or, you know, do whatever it contribute to the Masons or whoever, but at least you're intermingled with your people, you know.
Right.
You
you're not have some so type of stranded.
Yeah.
Not so far out there. Do you think that so okay. Where do I start? Do you think that Kim K introduced him deeper into it? Or do you think that he was already there? If that's a weird question, I don't know.
I think he was already there, but I think him being with Kim put him in a different position where he had to, he couldn't have a little bit of control on what he do, how he act, how he, you know, I mean, and when you realize him being with her, I didn't see him doing a lot. I mean, he did like his Yeezys, you know, but, and he did the church stuff, so. But I feel
that was a kind of cool idea. I'm not gonna lie, like to do that outside, mm-hmm. like that was pretty dope. Like, yeah, I thought that was dope. I ain't gonna lie. Like,
but then again, then look at it. Like, first of all, are you really even see? And that's where it's like this shit is just
like, are you really for God or are you capitalizing? Right. Yeah,
yeah, because he's pretty much using. The black people, because he would always have black chorus, and, you know, people, and it was soulful as hell. But then, I mean, sorry for that. But
damn,
my bad, God. But it was soulful. It felt very like I was in church. But on the other hand, it was also like okay. We know how to get people to be pulled in to listen to these things and think they're you know praising God, but what if they're not? That's the stuff that I feel like, yeah, he might have did that with or without Kim, but we would never know. And it just looked like he did, you know, do all that stuff while he was with her. And how do we know, like how was this set up? Like, I don't know. I honestly feel like that's worse to try to capitalize and make it seem like, oh, you're on a different path. You're, you know, more godly now. You want to become a gospel artist. And then we really be faking the funk versus just being with the original people that you were with, you know, Jay-Z and them, and just doing what you already were doing. And then just being who you really were. And if you even still entertaining and trying to be, you know, okay, well, I'm going to contribute and put out these messages, and it might not be for the good of the people, and it might be controlling them. But, you know, at least it was that instead of you trying to manipulate and now really change, you know, because one of the things that I feel like is like, I'm not going to go from a regular artist that sings secular music or rap secular music to rapping gospel, but then go back. That doesn't make sense because it's like you can't promote both. It's either you're all for God or you're just for the other. So the fact that he did that, he could have stayed where he was, but I feel like it was a backhand, you know, something was going on with that, that he needed to manipulate or was told to manipulate people that was told to, oh, let's sing about God. Let's make you make these people think that that's what they're praising. And then the other hand, it's like, no, you really are praising something else. That's
wild.
Worse. Yeah, it's like
wild.
I would rather just sing about the stuff that I was already singing about,
and right.
it'd be obvious versus me trying to manipulate people the good people too. Like they was listening. These people that listen to Kirk Franklin and all them and Yolanda Adams, they was listening. And you know, with some of them, because some of them even know. Some of them know too. Like I'm not listening. Like when he came out with that album, yeah, he did. I remember now. He did come out. It was supposed to be
yeah, he did. Album. Yeah, he did.
I didn't really listen to too much of it because I just felt like it was fake. Mm-hmm. So
I heard it was good, but I kind of share that same sentiment. I'm like, that's just kind of weird how he out of nowhere just popped up with this shit. You know what I mean? Like,
and I get it. Some people have a change, but you could tell that wasn't him.
And I mean, he's never. And then after that, he didn't do anything like that again. That's what I'm like, mm-hmm. Does he even do the church anymore? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think so.
He's just so random.
Yeah, I don't, and that's why again, it doesn't seem like that was his doing. It seemed like he was that was some setup, and if it was set up through the connections that he made with Kim and all of them, I don't know. It seemed like it. It kind of makes sense, and I wouldn't be surprised if that came about through those networks and connections versus where he was before. So I don't know. I think that it was worse for him to, because then you got to think he lost that business and that even friendship with Jay-Z over Kim. And that's sad. Like, because
what do you think went on with that? Like, I just heard that Beyonce did not like Kim.
Well, they didn't like her because of what she stood behind. I mean, she was only building herself up off of
cultural appropriation.
Yeah. And then it wasn't authentic and they knew that. And I mean, even if, like I said, even though Beyonce and Jay-Z, they might be spewing these, and whoever else might be spewing these, undercover manipulative messages within the music, but they still stay true. And at least try, on the other hand, to promote the Black people, because you got Beyonce, which is pro-Black, we might look at her, okay, she's, the light sister, but at the end of the day, she's still Black. She's with a Black man. She has Black kids. She's pro-Black, and she actually tries to uplift the Black community with her stuff. But at the same time, I understand the business and where she's kind of like trapped, because once you get to a certain level in this career, you have no choice, kinda. You really have no choice to submit to whatever, the Freemasons and all of them. So right. It's like, but she still does her thing and has her control. And so it's just like with Kim and him being, and Kanye being with Kim, that just seemed like it was taken away from everything. And think about it. Yeah, she even, shows like, oh, they do the braids, they do this, they do that. But are you really at home teaching your kids about Black History Month? Are you really at home teaching your kids about the blackness that lives within them?
Right. Do you just like the culture, or do you really appreciate,
the history,
right,
and what these kids are? These kids are truly half Black.
Right.
Like, ain't like Kanye mixed or something. This man is whole.
Right.
Negro. So ain't no mixture in there. So then the kids half and half, like, they have to have that understanding of themselves. And I don't think that that's what she promotes. Some people do care strongly about their kids knowing and, having that part of them within them and understanding and loving that. I don't know. I mean, who knows what she do in her own time at her house, but I don't know. I don't see it. I see a lot of the shit looks it looks fake. So even them all wanting to be with Black men, what is the infatuation? Like, if you just like who you like, if you just happen to be with somebody and they happen to be Black because you love them for who they are, not because of their race.
But you're not fetishizing them. Yeah.
Exactly. But the fact is that they all wanted to be with somebody Black. For what? What was the reason behind that? You had to love Black people so much. Like, what is it? Like, if I happen to fall in love with somebody that's white, or happen to fall, Indian, whatever the case, I just fall in love with them because of them, not because of the race. I don't think,
how are you guys all on the same page?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it's a conjoined effort at this point. You know what I mean? Like, they're all doing it I don't know. It's just weird. Like, how you guys all like Black guys?
Well, not Courtney.
Oh, yeah, not Courtney. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's right. She. What about the other one? That model one. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, she don't.
I guess I kind of stand corrected, maybe. I don't know.
It's just Kim and Khloé.
And their mom.
And the mama. Yeah, because she definitely like her some black men.
And isn't it, what's her face? Caitlyn too, right? Or am I tripping? I could have sworn I saw Caitlyn with one.
We're not going to play.
I'm not going to do it. We ain't going to do it today.
Okay. So, I'm just saying, I don't know what in the world.
Something's
up with, but hopefully, I pray for better days and better times because this, like I said, like the priest, I don't think that he was lying. A lot of people have, what is it? It's like out of body experience or something like that. When you die, but then they resuscitate you, bring you back to life, but you experience what you may be going, you know, the process of dying and where you might end up, hell or heaven. And I think it's real. So for him to have experienced that and to tell, I think people need to pray. I think people need to start tapping back into their spirituality, whatever they may be, you know, if it's, you know, whatever, Muslim, Buddhism, Christianity, whatever. But it's some dark times, man. And it is, as much as we all have a higher power, there is a darker power or whatever, you know, we want to call it, something that is just not good that seeks to attack us. And we just got to do better. you know, be a better people. But
I
hope
so. I wish we could pray in a circle about that. That would be great because just some of the stuff that goes on is crazy. Like, have you seen like all, I won't go into detail, but it's just crazy with the mass shootings and kids shooting their moms over games. And it's just, what is happening? What is wrong with you people?
That's what I'm saying. These are some dark times. And then it's just getting to a point where I feel like, I don't know, the earth, like, because it's not even just like America at this point, like it's the world. Like,
I used to think it was America. Like, there was a part of me I was like, I'm tired of it here, I want to move. Like, yeah. I didn't want to be here no more.
It's not just us. Like, it's definitely, the world is spinning out of control. It's like, yeah, you might have countries that do things a little bit different, might appear better, but then they might have other stuff that's in place that you'd be like, oh hell no, I ain't with that. And it's like, I mean, I just think it's dark, and whatever the higher power that you praise, you better tap into that real quick.
Definitely have to turn to God.
Because it's like, what else do you have? And yeah,
right now, sure.
I don't know. I mean, we all have our day. You know, we all have our judgment day where we're going to be facing, you know, either going down or going up. I mean, and it's just like, I don't want to go down. Mm-mm.
Right.
And then he was talking about them people, eyes bulging out, feet scorned, and head burned on the crown. And
do you think, like, I'm not trying to knock anybody's experience, but like, I don't know, some of that stuff just sounds like a movie scene he described.
But it probably is. It probably is just like, because realistically, people go through things. I remember I seen a show, it was like a movie where it was a group of friends that were like doctors, and they were like all trying to go through this whole like half, you know, whatever the... We're gonna have to find the word for it. It's the it's not like afterlife, it's like a transition that you go through when you're dying.
Limbo or no,
it's like I can't remember, but it's that phase that you go through. And they literally were like, and they were doctors, and they were like shooting themselves would pretty much kill them. And then they were all knowledgeable enough to be able to bring the person back to life. And that's what they were doing. They kept doing it. And I'm going to look this movie up so I can get the name of it. But they were literally like killing each other and then like bringing each other back to life. And each person was going through their afterlife experience or near death experience. That's what it was, where they would like be almost dead, almost done. And I remember actually in the movie, one of them actually died, but it was just so much that, yeah, like they were playing with it to see, because they couldn't believe what was, if these people were seeing real stuff or if it was just a story that somebody, and they make these movies off of real life experiences. You know, when they make stuff like you know, when they be making all these different movies and different shows and stuff. And it'd be like, damn, the shit happens after a while. You'd be like,
yeah, true.
You know, like, I think that all of this is real. Mm-hmm. So then to just, you know,
I feel you. I see what you're saying.
It's like we question a lot, but realistically, the content that we see, they're getting it from something.
That is true.
You know, imaginative stuff. It's just, it's some real experience based off these. So I don't know. I think that, and I mean, I don't want to find out. I don't want to.
Right. Cause I mean, it could very well, cause you, that's the thing that's unknown. Like the inevitable is that we're going to die. The thing mm-hmm. that's so unknown is that we don't know how, we don't know when, we don't know where. So, yeah. And we don't even know how it's going to be afterwards. So, I mean, it's true. Who knows? I mean, he very well could have had that experience.
Yeah, and it could have been somewhere, because I think if we think about like hell, do we really think that they're just all sitting there burning?
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, huh?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's more activity,
right? Like, dang, yeah, I could just burn all day long.
No,
like, what is that? Like, oh God, no. I'd be so tired of it. Like, God,
but he. He used a good example. It looked like that was a demon that had attached himself to this person from the day that they was born until the day that they died. And it was like, oh, a 2-for-1 combo. He was with them during his lifetime and he was with them all his life and his afterlife. His soul was with this demon. So that's why it's so important for people to take advantage and to actually seek, you know, the forgiveness of the Lord and to actually start living in a better way, because it's like, you don't want to have anything attached to you. And who knows if the person knew it or not, but it's like, now you see what you have to deal with. So is it, it's, I feel like the cost of changing your lifestyle throughout your, you know, the earthly life so that you could be, live a better life in the spirit realm, that's a good enough cost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to spend my whole eternity in the afterlife walking on being controlled by a demon, you know, burning my knees, burning feet, burnt. You know, I'm over here being held by a chain from a demon. Mm-mm.
I'm not with it.
So, yeah. But you know, enough of that. That is, ooh, that was deep. But
it was, but we had to get into it because that was definitely something else. And that was a great transition from, you know, Mr. Messy McMessy Pants into this. So that was a great transition. Did you want to go ahead and touch just like briefly on that whole like feminist thing? I guess we could maybe end out, or should we?
Ooh, I feel like that's, I'm sorry,
you think
y'all.
You think that'd be a lot to unpack? Okay.
Yeah, because this guy was messy, and we're going to have some time to unpack that one. He was so messy.
He sure was.
We're going to save it for next time because that was a juicy one. I'm pretty sure y'all would want to hear, you know, in depth.
Right, yeah. We don't want to rush you because we running up on that time.
Mm-hmm. But I will. Let's. So we could touch on this little escape track. So there is a page on Instagram called Escape Tracks. So y'all guys just follow that page. It's pretty much like, you know, a page where they promote R&B, pretty much just singers and artists that have great vocals and good music. And we have an artist, Coco Jones. She actually plays in Bel Air, the show that comes on Peacock. It's like a spinoff show for the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. But she started her, you know, her R&B career, and she has a new song called ICU, which is one of my favorites. I've been listening to that on repeat. So shout out to you, Coco Jones. I love that song. But she did a duet where, well, she was like an open duet. So pretty much she did her part of the song, and then she let everybody else sing to it. And Mina, I have requested that you sing to the song.
I gotta check it out. I'm gonna check it out. I gotta learn it real quick, and then I'll do it. So it's a challenge.
Yes.
It's a challenge.
Pretty much, yes. Open verse challenge for the song. I'm gonna play one of them. Now I'm gonna
okay, cool.
maybe seven people that did the cover. Me personally, I found the first one to be the best one, but
Hopefully we got some inspiration because okay. I want to start doing covers, so that'll be great.
Yeah, I think we got time to play them, so I'm gonna play it.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Memories and our cautionary tales etched in my brain like the walls in a cave. Our story ain't holy, but I'll repent when you hold me. I ain't too proud to beg, just like David said, baby, please. But beloved, wasn't it done? And the honeymoon was kind of rough. But I still love you like it's day one. When I leave you, I sing you.
Okay, so here's the second one. Next.
Dang, you make me want to do this. Can you send that to me?
Listen to this one.
Billion is a critic. Don't play with her. That's why I go to her, because you know she says, okay.
I got a new favorite. So that was like, you know, four of them. I'm going to send this to you. And listeners, we are going to push for her to sing and do the duet.
I got
to
do it.
Yes. And
I think I'm getting out of my funk, and I'm finally getting to a point like it's just lately. Yesterday, I had a great meeting with people, different artists that really inspired me to get back into it. I've even been listening to some beats to even possibly drop another song too. So So that would be great. I would definitely do some. I actually want to start dropping covers. And actually, this comes just in time because I'm like, what the heck should I sing? And, you know, like, yeah. I can't seem to identify with a lot. I like to do the soft singing, but sometimes I do like to show off and belt a little. So that'll mm-hmm. allow me to do that. So is that kind of almost like a duet kind of setup? Kind of, you know what I mean? Like TikTok?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, that'd be great.
Yeah, because, I mean, the song itself, I mean, you could find it everywhere, but I think she does have, like, a TikTok page where you could duet it. Yeah.
Is that how they're doing it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, they're, cool. like... Okay. They're sitting right next to, pretty much they have them recorded and her right next. And so she sings her part, intro, and then you just take off. And you pretty much write your own little lyrics to that gap that's empty. Because if you listen to the song, yeah, her song, I mean, I think the open verse is, yeah, the open verse was for you to like redo it. But I feel like it would be good to cover it. The words that she, her song.
I might be lazy and just use the
because, but her song was good too. Like, I love it. The first time that I heard it. And then she had performed it on the Soul Train Awards. And it was just like, wow. Like, she's not just singing good on radio. She sings very, very well live. And I was like,
that's
okay.
That's a challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, very, very good like vocal strength. So yeah, that I would love for you to do that one. That way, you know, we could promote. I'm so mad that The Voice is not on anymore. I would have told you to go on The Voice.
I know. I need to do so much more. But yeah. Y'all are always you guys are gonna be up to date. Heck, we need to but we'll talk about that later. But no, guys, we are really gonna do more promoting with the podcast and stuff like that. So
yes, ma'am. Yes. Well, y'all, it was real. It was real.
Yes.
We're gonna get back to daily activities. Okay. But for now, peace out.
All right, signing out.